Good morning. It's Sunday, 18th October. Our New Testament reading today brings us to John chapter 11, where we read of the raising of Lazarus. Once again, I'm going to read to you from Brother Melva Purkis. I read, "At Bethany, the burial was over. The tomb was sealed, but the mourners remained to console. Martha was told that Jesus had come. She climbed the hill to meet him on the outskirts of the little town. Mary stayed in the house. 'Lord,' cried the elder sister, 'if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died.' But looking upon him after these days of anxiety and grief, she felt once more the strength of his presence. A flicker of hope stirred in her heart. She dared not dwell upon the full implications of it, even to herself. But suddenly it found expression. 'I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee.' Jesus knew. 'Thy brother shall rise again.' Yes, she believed that. He had been a dear, good man. There was the resurrection. But what of this aching void in her heart? What of the lovely home hidden now among the vines? The home that had suddenly become lonely and cheerless. Gently, Jesus lifted her thoughts higher, beyond the present grief, beyond even the joy that her brother's restoration would give her for a few years before this scene was repeated. He had come to bring life, life more abundant, life that would triumph over this mortal span of years. Fellowship with him will bring her into relationship with divine life, triumphant in its victory over death. 'I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.' He looked into her face. 'Believest thou this, Martha?' Oh, that was a challenge indeed. With true sincerity, she could say she believed in him. 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, who should come into the world.' With an indefinable hope, she left him there. Back in the little home where she had been taught the secret of true service, she found Mary surrounded by her friends. She drew her aside. 'The Master is come and calleth for thee.' Breathlessly, Mary rose and left the house. At last, he had come. Half running, she climbed the hill towards him. The mourners watched her anxiously. 'She's gone to the grave to weep there,' they thought. 'We cannot leave her.' It was the Lord's purpose that they should follow to witness what was now to be done. They reached the tomb. The gravestone, cold and final, shut in Lazarus from the world of life and light. The silence was only broken by the weeping of the woman. But beyond the silence a prayer ascended. Jesus, now deeply moved, looked upon the scene, the stricken sisters of the family he loved, the mourning women, the rock-covered tomb, grey and silent. It was a picture in miniature of all that sin had wrought, this scene enacted down the ages and through ages yet to come. He will staunch these tears, but they will flow afresh. They will stream down the cheeks of those who have no comforter to bring restoration. Jesus wept. The mourners, watching in amazement, whispered one to another, 'Behold how he loved him. Behold, rather, how he loved all mankind. And behold, not here in Bethany. Look out over that distant shoulder of rock that leans towards Jerusalem. There you shall behold how he loved.'" We know how these events unfolded. The stone was rolled away, and Jesus called out, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth. We look forward to the day when Jesus will show us that he is the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth on him, though he were dead, shall live. Then we shall see the completed pattern of our lives, and we shall know that the sorrow and the suffering made up the fullness of his love.